All right. So we're still on the kingdom. Still on the, there's so much to say about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And I want to look at two other parables today in part 11. Matthew 13, again, starting at verse 31, spoke another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown," the kingdom of heaven is like this seed, the least of all, but it changes when it grows. When it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nests in its branches. So again, Jesus is helping us to understand. He was revealing things to his disciples, but speaking to the people in parables, explaining the kingdom of heaven. And this being a agricultural society, they would understand, they would get the implications of this, mustard seed, this parable of the mustard seed. So the kingdom of heaven starts out small, the way the mustard seed does. It is the least of all seeds, least of all herbs. But the kingdom of God, like the mustard seed, the least of all seeds, it grows. The kingdom of God grows. So when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, he didn't stop there. He said that mustard seed in verse 32, when it is grown, when it is grown. In other words, the destination, it starts out one way, but it ends a totally different way. And so the implication, many implications to that, right? But it starts out with us, maybe in the least of ways, but it intends to grow and take up more and more space. This is a image of an herb garden. Don't ask me what those herbs are, because I don't know. But it is an herb garden. And to show you herbs growing in a garden, what it will look like when they've grown up and everything. Then I just got a picture of a mustard tree, just to give you some idea when it said it's the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is a tree. None of these herbs here are a tree. None of these things are a tree. These are just little plants. But this is the mustard tree. So we see that if this mustard tree was in this garden, it would dwarf everything. Birds can't nest in any of these here. Yeah, but birds certainly could nest in something like this. So Jesus says that even though the kingdom of God, it starts out as the least, it when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. We see this in the Old Testament, this idea of growth, this idea of filling. When Daniel, the prophet Daniel, prophesied to King Nebuchadnezzar, telling him, not only giving him an interpretation of his dream, but telling him what his dream was. Amen. And so I want to read that, starting in Daniel chapter 2, verse 36. Daniel says to King Nebuchadnezzar, "This is the dream, O king. Now we will tell the interpretation before the king. O king, you are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom." The God of heaven has given you a kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. So this is speaking of the Babylonian kingdom. He's given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whatever the children, wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So he's explaining the image of gold, silver chest and bronze torso and so forth. He goes on, "But after you shall arise another kingdom. This kingdom would be the Medo-Persian Empire, right? The Medo-Persian kingdom. It is inferior to yours. Shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another kingdom, a third kingdom. Is that there? I'll make sure. Yeah. Then another kingdom, the third kingdom, which will be a kingdom of bronze. This would be the Macedonian kingdom founded by Alexander the Great. It's interesting as you go through this that you read all of these. You can search all these on Google with their Wikipedia files and on all of this, because man likes to talk about his kingdoms, but when you come to the kingdom of God, it's altogether different, right? So he says, this kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth, and to rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom, verse 40, and the fourth kingdom, this would be the Roman Empire, the Roman kingdom, shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others that came before it, and indeed it did. Starting in verse 41, whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, let's see. I want to make sure I have it right here so that you can see it. Partly of clay, they will mingle with the seed of men. They will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Verse 44, and in the days of these kings, or in these days of these kingdoms, God, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, I talked about the growth of the mustard seed and the filling, how it fills, how it grows, and it would fill everything. We're getting to that here. Daniel says of this kingdom, that God was going to set it up, and it was a kingdom that which will not be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. In other words, another kingdom is not going to come behind this kingdom and displace it or replace it. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. Earthly kings are overseen, earthly kingdoms, rather. Overseen by earthly kings, have earthly constituents, and come to a definite end. We see that all throughout human history. But this kingdom that God would set up has a spiritual / earthly king. It has a spiritual / earthly constituents and will never come to an end. This kingdom that God would set up in the days of these kings during the time of the Roman Empire, God was setting up a kingdom like no other kingdom. No other kingdom has ever existed like the God's kingdom, which he was going to set up during the days of the Roman Empire. Right?
Dad, we can't see the PowerPoint if you're showing it.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to need to. Did all that reading. Okay.
Yeah, you were good now. Yep.
So do you see here, verse 44? Let me back up a little bit. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's amazing to me to read this because we are... This is the kingdom that we have been brought into, that we are part of. This kingdom is like no other kingdom that has ever existed. There has never been a kingdom that has had a a spiritual slash earthly king. Yeah, never been. I mean, when Jesus rose from the dead, he walked here on earth and he went up to heaven. Hello. We're going to live, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Some posit that you're going to be able to leave heaven and go to earth and leave earth and go to heaven. Like the angels in Genesis 28, there was a ladder between heaven and earth, and angels were ascending and descending upon it. That ladder, we're told, is Jesus Christ. Yeah. So here we have a spiritual earthly king in this kingdom, because it is a spiritual kingdom that when God fully redeems the earth, is going to be part of that kingdom. Now, Daniel, when he was explaining to Nebuchadnezzar his dream, back up in, I didn't finish it. I didn't finish reading all of it. Oh, yeah. So where is that? Oh, there it is. Verse 45, inasmuch as you saw the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. Never say that God doesn't give unsaved people dreams, because we just read about it right here. Daniel's interpreting a dream that God gave to an unsaved, a pagan king. Does God speak to unsaved people through dreams? Yes, he most certainly does. Did in the Old Testament, did in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius had a vision. And this man doesn't even know Christ, and he has a vision where he sees an angel. God speak to people through dreams and visions today, unsaved people? Most definitely. Most definitely. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So, Daniel, in describing when he was interpreting the dream, this is verse 45. If we go back to verse 34 and 35, Daniel said this when he was describing the dream. He said, King Nebuchadnezzar, you watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the southern threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain. The mustard seed, when it is grown, becomes a tree. It is larger than any other herb. The stone which struck the mountain, which struck the image, became a great mountain. And so you see here, that this stone is actually the kingdom of God. If we go back and look in the scriptures here, because the stone is what broke the image to pieces. And back here, it says that this kingdom was going to do that. This kingdom was going to break in pieces. It shall break in pieces, speaking of the kingdom. So the stone is the kingdom that is going to fill all the earth. That stone grew and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. No kingdom at any time has filled the earth. No kingdom. When you look up the greatest, the largest kingdoms that have ever existed, they had, the one I saw had, the British Empire had the largest amount of space that it was a part of its empire. And it got nowhere near the whole of the earth. No. So there is no kingdom at any one time that has filled the whole earth. But this kingdom that God would bring about would do just that. Again, this small stone is not the kingdom of Israel. Though the nation was small, it is not what is referred to here. This kingdom is the kingdom of God. Is it any wonder then, when Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 14, he said, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be fully, so that the message might be preached fully through me. Paul says in this verse of scripture, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Paul, in his estimation, had spoken the gospel, preached the gospel to all the Gentiles, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, just like Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Paul said, the gospel message has been presented fully through me, has been preached fully through me. This is why Paul believed in his day Jesus Christ could return at any time. Why? Because he had preached the gospel, not just him, but others, right? He said in Romans chapter 15, verse 18, for I dare not, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and in deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul says, I've fully preached. I've preached the gospel this far from Israel over to the right of the screen, all the way up to the left of the screen to Rome. Paul says, I have preached the gospel. You see a Illyricum circle in yellow at the top left. He says, I've preached the gospel to all of this area. Some Bible scholars estimate that he had preached the gospel and reached to a 20 million people of that time. We see there's no incursion into Africa, but other disciples, other apostles took the gospel to Africa, and that they had preached the gospel to the known world in their generation. In their generation. He said, I have made the gospel fully known. In other words, the kingdom of God had spread and it had filled the whole earth. Even those of the Sanhedrin told Peter and John about them preaching the gospel and say, you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine that you're teaching. They're like, that's what God told us to do. You know, the kingdom of God was going to fill the earth. Even today, when you look at, even though some say Christians' numbers have declined in some respects, but there are 2.3 billion plus Christians in the earth, followed by Islam and Hinduism and so forth. But it filled the earth then, it has been filling the earth, and it's going to fill the earth. Why? Because God said it would. So this stone, like the mustard seed, it grew, and the mustard seed grew and filled the whole garden where it was planted. The stone, which was cut out of a mountain, and when you hold a stone up to a mountain, you say, well, that's a really big difference. But when you hold a mountain up to the world, yeah, it becomes a stone. That stone grew. That little stone grew, and it filled the whole earth. God's talking about his kingdom. He's talking about his kingdom. So in both of these passages of scripture, Jesus Christ is the stone of Daniel chapter 2. Okay? He is the stone. He and his kingdom. And Jesus is the seed of Matthew 13. That seed, his kingdom, is that seed that would then be planted and then grow to fill the whole earth. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone. He is that stone cut out. He is that stone in whom the whole building being fitted together grows. Jesus Christ and his people are one. And that building, that stone being fitted together grows into a temple, a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And one day, the temple of God is going to be expressed in all of the earth. For the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Indeed, in that new heaven and the new earth, all of God's people are going to, they're going to fill the earth and going to be his temple. We are his temple now. Amen. These temples of clay. But then, his eternal resting place, right? So the kingdom of God has grown, is growing, and will grow and fill the earth. Not only is he that stone, but here we see that he is the seed. He's that mustard seed. He is the seed. Peter said, preaching to those in Jerusalem, said, "You are the sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." He preaches and says, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, when he says seed, he's not talking about Israel. He's talking about someone particular of Israel, but not Israel as a whole. He says, in your seed, that seed, which is Christ. And he makes it clear that in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Are all of us blessed because of Israel? Yes and no. If by the whole nation are we blessed? No. But are we blessed by the one who came out of Israel, Jesus Christ? Yes. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, he makes it very clear that the seed by whom we are blessed is Jesus Christ. He sent him to bless you. And what is that blessing? It's not winning a lottery. Yeah, it's not having everything you want. That blessing chiefly is in turning every one of you away from your iniquities. Oh, God has been doing so, and he will continue to do so until he returns again. He will be turning all of us away from our iniquities so that we might be blessed in the fullness of what he has provided for us through and in Jesus Christ, his Son. So Jesus Christ is that stone cut out of the mountain. He is that seed that was planted, that filled the whole earth, his kingdom, right? Galatians says it again. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. Christ is the seed. He's what planted in us, his kingdom planted us, and that kingdom grows. Planted in the earth, and that kingdom grows. Jesus said this in John chapter 12. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, unless the seed of wheat, a kernel of wheat, falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Jesus is saying here that unless he dies, he remains alone. If Jesus had lived his life and never died on that cross, his life would have brought forth no fruit. Why? Because he was born to die. That was the purpose of his whole existence, was to die and rise again from the dead. So where in Galatians before is talking about the seed as of a generation passing from one to the next, here Jesus is speaking of his life, that it is to be, he is to be put into the ground. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He's telling his disciples that he's going to the cross. He must die. He must die. Just like the man took the mustard seed and he put it in the ground. That once he had sowed it in the ground, when it grew, then it filled. It grew greater than any of the other herbs. So Jesus lived so that he might die, so that he might produce much fruit. And when you look in the mirror, you're looking at the produce, at the rewards, at the fruit of his labors. You're looking at what his death, burial, and resurrection has produced. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We are the fruit that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ brought forth. Jesus became the first fruits of those who were asleep. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 6, we were buried with him in baptism into death and rose with him in newness of life. He was the first fruits. No one had ever died and resurrected from the dead before Christ. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he wasn't resurrected from the dead. Amen. Enoch and Elijah were translated to heaven, but they didn't die. They weren't resurrected from the dead because they didn't die. Christ is the first one to have died and resurrected from the dead, and received a new body through that resurrection. Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 15:23, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. So Christ is bringing forth those, all of those that his death, burial, and resurrection produced. Do you remember what God commanded Adam and Eve to do? He said, you're to take dominion and subdue the earth. He said, fill the earth. Seal it. And Jesus Christ is doing just that through the establishing of his kingdom. He's filling the earth. Jesus will fill the new earth with God's children who are made in his image, thus fulfilling God's command to Adam. And because the first Adam didn't accomplish what God wanted done, the second Adam certainly will. He certainly will. The second parable in Matthew 13 we read is Jesus spoke another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leaven. And so we all know what leaven is or how it acts, right? Leaven changes the character of whatever batter or dough it is introduced to. So if it's put into batter, it's going to fill the batter until all of the batter is leaven. It's going to change the consistency of the batter, how it bakes, how it lifts, and so forth. Leaven leaves nothing unaffected by its presence. The kingdom of heaven has the same effect upon our lives. In other words, the kingdom of heaven, like leaven, was sowed into our lives, and it is going to increase and increase and increase until our lives are totally affected by the kingdom of God, by the kingdom of heaven. That's why Paul would say in Colossians chapter 3, he says that if you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ in heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, set your affections there. And so we find that even as we worship and even throughout our lives, we find our affections decreasing for the things of this world and increasing for the things of heaven. Why? Because we're a part of a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Yes, I'm truly reminded of these old saints who went to be with the Lord as they got closer to their time to go. Then they began to express just otherworldly, heavenly senses about they weren't here. I'll never forget my pastor, March 7th, that was a Sunday, 1999, after the church service, he wasn't his normal self. And I was watching him because I'm like, that's not how he acts. Why are he acting like that? It was like he was sitting in the back of the church, hand behind his head, looking off. Andy was never like that. Andy was always straightening up chairs, picking up chairs, straightening up the sanctuary, different things. I was elder with him for years, so I knew him. But not this day. He sat down with his hands behind his head, staring off, like he was looking off into something that wasn't even there. And I'm talking to this dude, and but I'm watching my pastor, and I'm like, what? Where is he? What is he looking at? I didn't know that he was looking across the Chile Jordan, they say. He was looking at something, and it wasn't 24 hours. It wasn't 24 hours, and he was gone. He was gone. He transitioned. Amen? And so the kingdom of heaven is going to have that effect upon our lives, right? John MacArthur, head of a church out in California, called Grace to You. You probably know him. And I saw him on a video lately, and he was saying, anytime, Lord. He's 80 plus, and he's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to, I want to see, I want to go. And he's quite ill now, had an operation, and his recovery is not doing real well, but he's okay with that. He says, look, I've done much. He says, but whenever the Lord chooses to call me, I'm ready. And so the kingdom of God has had this effect on him. He's ready to let all this stuff go. He's like, hey, you know, Elijah, when he translated to heaven, the scripture says his mantle fell back down to Elijah. That mantle couldn't go. It said, no, that couldn't go. But he went up into heaven. Glory to God. So there is a negative aspect of leaven, not in this parable, but Jesus did at one point teach his disciples. He said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And after he got through to his disciples that he wasn't talking about bread, excuse me, he was talking about the teaching or the doctrine of the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees would teach one thing, but they wouldn't do it. Hello. They would tell you to do it, but they wouldn't do it. and their teaching was suspect. Jesus said that that they respected the traditions of men instead of the praise of God. They wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. So Jesus told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why? Because that leaven is going to affect you. It's going to touch you. It's going to leave you not unaffected by it. It's going to poison you. So beware of that. Jesus did not bring us into his kingdom to remain as we are, but to so influence us by his kingdom that we are totally changed by his presence. Amen? Jesus did not bring us into his kingdom for us to remain the same, but he brought us into his kingdom so that we might be totally changed by it. Why is this? Why is this? And the reason is we're being made ready for eternal life in his kingdom, in his spiritual kingdom. And I close with this. Paul said to the Philippians, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. That leavening effect of the leaven hidden in the meal that fills it till the whole thing is leavened. God says, what I started in you, I'm not going to stop until it fills, until the work is complete in you. Said to the Philippians, that he who has begun that good work in you, he's going to complete it. We're going to be totally leavened, if you will. We're going to be totally affected by the king and his kingdom. And that is a daily work going on in you and I by the grace of God. And aren't we all glad? Aren't we all glad?
Amen.
That God has seen to it that the work of preparing us for his kingdom will never end, but he's going to complete it even to the day of Jesus Christ. No matter what we go through, no matter what our families, our marriages, our homes, our churches. No, remember what we said at the beginning? Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Hello. Everything, and just look at the world around us. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. They talk about but the NATO alliance, and we had peace in Europe for 50 years. Well, yeah, well, that's a, you know, that can be shaken though. So it's being shaken. Yeah, well, the presidency and Congress and the courts and yeah, and America in 50 years. Oh, come on now, hello. You have, but God would know. No, America, come on now. America, can it be shaken? Oh, please. Yes, indeed. Hang on, church. Hang on. Hang on to what, Pastor? Hang on to Jesus.
Amen.
That's why I'm not preaching politics on these sermons, because politics, no, no, no. The devil just trying to distract people. Listen. There's no man, no woman, no child. There's no one that can supersede what God is doing in his kingdom. And so we're not done seeing ripples. Europe is going crazy. You understand? Because of what's going on here, you know? And God says, listen, homes will be shaken. Marriages will be shaken. Relationships will be shaken. Everything will be shaken. Why? Because the only sure foundation is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
Amen. And anyway, Jesus is going to come back and say, listen, I've been telling you, he is the chief cornerstone. So when things come our way, let's not be moved. Let's not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. We're going to trust God, because he who began a good work in us is going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's all of our sickness. Amen. Amen. I started reading the book of Job again in my yearly reading. And here we are again. And Job, whoa, God! Job.
Amen.
Read the book of Job. Hello. Testament. I'm born again. Read the book of Job.
Amen.
Look, there is nothing in this life that is a sure foundation.
Amen.
Not our health, not our mental well-being. Christians get dementia. Just like unsaved people get dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Listen, but we have to love one another, be there for, cherish one another, prefer one another above ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Preached. Hello.
Amen.
And so we're in a time of great shaking in the earth, shaking in all types of circumstances. And we're called upon to look at the kingdom, or consider, or to be enthralled by it, to fill our vision that we are a part of an unshakable kingdom, and the King is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And that king says, I'm going to have you sit in my throne.
Amen.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to process that every day. King says, Father, thrills go my disciples. They would come and sit in my throne and experience the glory that I had with you before the world began. I said, oh, my. Jesus. When you say, did you hear what so-and-so did? I'm like, please, please, don't trouble me with that. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be all right. Hello.
Amen.
We are going to be all right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Any questions or comments on the teaching? Thank Amen. You, everyone. Pray you encouraged and strengthened in the Lord this day. And yes. I pray the blessing over the balance of your week. Amen. Yes, stay in touch.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
God bless you.